When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
The goody goody. Sabrina Jellies. The goody goody. You're listening to the goody goody. We've recorded the Goody Goody podcast in the Forever Dog Studios. We've recorded it in my bed. We've recorded it in Natasha Leggero's pool house. But guess what, my goody goodies? Today, we sat down with Brian Safi on my dining room table. Let's get freaky. Just the idea that, like, when you are in a place in your mind where you take yourself to just the it's catastrophizing, right?
It is 100% catastrophizing, yeah. It's either everything is working for you and you're working, or you're nothing and a piece of shit. Nothing will, not only is something not happening now, it never will again.
Yeah, and the reality is somewhere in between, but it's not that fun to live in between.
No.
It's like, my brother, I was going through a breakup once and I was like bawling, and my brother was like, Bina, like, you love so hard, but you also, like, that's this is the cost of loving that hard. Like, he's like, I exist more here. Which I think he was just explaining, like, mental stability to me.
Right. He's like, I am a lot more sane than you are.
Yeah. But we got into this chat before we started hitting record, and I hit record because I thought it was interesting, because I was talking about just feeling sometimes about stand up, like when I don't get to do it as much as I would like to, slash how much is the right amount, just like this idea of what the way things should be. And when you're having a tough time, that lining up and making the way things are look like tragic.
And it's also a thing of, like, and I think just in this career especially, you could technically always be busier.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There isn't a start and a finish to your day.
Yeah.
So it's not just, oh, I should do stand up more. It's like, well, I should be there every night. People do it every night. Like, da 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 da. You know what,
yeah,
I mean? There's just like no off. You have to really create an off button for yourself, and it's really difficult.
Well, that reminds me of the TCAs last week. So Brian is on the show 911 on Fox.
I am.
With Jennifer Love Hewitt, who we will get into it soon, and I'm going to play it cool because I'm gunning for a friendship.
Oh, I forgot. You really.
I was obsessed with her.
I forgot about that.
I clipped
that. She's
out
wonderful.
Pictures of her from Teen People magazine, like clipping the details of her hair so that I would get it right. And I called it the party of five corner in my room, but it was just like, that
party
was my
one.
Beard for, yeah, just like just spending so much time fantasizing about hugging her and feeling her warm breasts on my body and being like, it would be the friendship of a lifetime.
I had a 90210 poster in my room, but it was really all a disguise just for Jason Priestley.
Priestley is your one?
He was. I wasn't a Dylan. I was a, what's his face?
Yeah, you were a
Brandon.
Sensible man. You wanted a house, a
I just
dog.
Wanted stability. That's
yeah,
right.
You didn't
I
need to be on the back of a motorcycle.
I didn't need to be with a bad boy. I just wanted to be with someone who was like, hey, how are you today? But that was the whole thing was a disguise of like me pretending Shannon Doherty was beautiful, but really just like Jason Priestley was where it was at.
Yes. Yeah, gay people really have mastered, like, unwittingly is when you don't know you're doing something.
Yeah.
Perfect. Wish that I had unwittingly just used wit. Wish that I had been more witting about using unwittingly. We're really good at cosplay or something, or just like the idea, because the idea of obsessing over both people in the couple is that you're like secretly in your mind, not even telling yourself, but that you want to take over the body of the person that you're pretending to have a crush on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are fully obsessing. And also, like, I don't know, at least for me, I feel like that's where all the lies started. It's like, which is a negative way to look at it, because obviously, like, I was protecting myself and not wanting to,
yeah,
you know, but
we all lie to ourselves about,
I think just for me, it was just like, I'm attracted for back then. I'm attracted to a boy and I'm pretending it's a girl. And like, I'm not drinking Dr. Pepper. It's Coke. And like, everything became a lie.
Really?
Yeah. I had to like
if
break.
They find out it's Coke, Brian, if they find out it's Coke,
I'm done for it. They'll send me right to that conversion camp. Anyway, you were saying about the TCA.
That's you pouring the Coke into the Dr. Pepper.
Looking around
the
with Felix eyes.
But did you were a big liar?
Huge. About really nothing, obviously about nothing like big, but just like about anything anything, really.
Interesting. Just we like, would all just like a couple shades to the left or the right.
Yeah. And it just, it and I think it started with the sexuality thing, actually.
Yeah.
But then it just, I manifested itself where I was just like, you know, almost pretending to be somebody else, like through high school.
Whoa,
just like policing my moves,
you.
And like making sure I didn't seem too feminine and blah, blah,
oh,
blah, which
yeah,
all that,
that
sort
part.
Of thing where like head to toe, you're just checking yourself constantly.
Yeah.
And lie is maybe the wrong word, but it was dishonest.
Like, we were the wrong type of Ken doll and Barbie doll, you
yeah,
know, like we were
exactly.
So I just remember like thinking like, when are these broad shoulders gonna thin out,
right,
and my swan neck boggle up,
yeah,
and my legs pop out and my tits wrap around my body and my belly
oh.
button turn
well,
into
that's
a
anyone's
hot
dream
tub
body. Oh, I couldn't wait to grow up and fill my belly with water.
Yeah,
just fill my belly button with water.
Rent it out on Airbnb in Seasons High.
Oh yes.
But I want to know, where did you grow up?
El Paso,
Texas, and yeah. Your parents were here when the shootings happened.
They were
the
here
weekend.
This past weekend when the shootings happened,
and it
yeah.
made you feel close.
Well, it was because we're not close, and it was just something that I don't know. It was just such a common mourning, I guess, and maybe that's too strong a word. I didn't know anyone involved in it, but
no,
we went back to school shopping where it happened
oh
at the Sierra Vista Mall every year, and it's that time of year where I think people were doing that.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know. It was just, you know, it's that thing where you think it all of a sudden felt like I was a kid again for like a second. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though, again, I don't know anyone who was involved in it, but it was sort of, we have a rocky relationship as it is. And at least in that moment, we didn't.
Do you want to talk about that? Because
oh,
I
yeah,
feel
I
like, speaking of common mourning, we met in Montreal.
Yes.
But I think I had like heard that you had like a tough time coming out with your family, that they were more traditional. And I famously, if you read my Huffington Post article, after my Muslim family left me, I did hire a PR person.
God bless.
I did do breakfast television in every city.
You've got to do it.
In.
You've got to do it.
That's kind of true. Did I tell you that part? So they like, when I came out to
good
them, they were like not into it.
I knew that.
And I had kind of like a dead summer. So I hired a PR person and did a tour called Brown Listed. And I really did do morning, like breakfast TV, being like, yeah, so the story is, this is, I, you know, I came out and they weren't into it. And just, like started that conversation.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, that really is,
and
like,
it worked because they were like, just stop doing breakfast TV and you can come back to the family.
Right.
Just like, stop talking
I
about our
done
problems.
That. Listen, if anyone's questioning their sexuality, tell your parents, hire a PR person. Hope, cross your fingers, they react negatively when you tell them that you're coming
out.
Well,
so your trouble was with your parents. My trouble, I mean, like, my parents were definitely not like perfect when I came out, but
it was like your extended family, right?
It was my extended family, yeah. But your parents, what was the timeline? You told them.
I told them. I mean, they knew. They always knew.
They always
it was
knew.
Like obvious. But I told them, I guess, like my senior year of college. And it was like, my mom said she'd rather I have lung cancer. Like, it was like so terrible.
What is she got specific about the cancer?
Yeah. She was like, because
call
that's
your
the
mommy. I just have that.
And then I guess
for a diagnosis.
Yep.
She said I'd rather you have lung cancer.
Yeah, it was shocking.
Damn.
And then my dad wrote me a letter, and then they were like, we wish this would have happened sooner so we could have sent you somewhere, like that whole thing.
Yes, that's what my aunt said.
And it sent
you to like a camp with all a bunch of other gay dudes.
Yeah, exactly. Just like a fuck camp.
Just the horniest camp.
The horniest camp. Wait, so your aunt said she wanted to send you. How old
were
you?
Yeah, she just, I was, well, this was, so part of, to give them credit, I also did not tell them for a very long time because my dad was just like, keep it a secret. And I was like, how long do you want me to keep this a secret? Like, I show up to family things with my white best friend and like our little kid best friend.
Yeah.
So I came out to them after I got married. And I think, you know, part of it, like looking
after you got married,
after I got married.
Yeah.
So it's also like, not only, you know, is this like identity thing that you've got to get used to, but also like, you've been not a part of my life for so long that you don't know that I've been married.
Right.
And like within that community and in that culture, like family is everything. And like, you know, the weddings are like, for them, like it's the club, like that's like,
no, totally.
They don't drink, they don't, I mean, it's very sort of like tight knit. And I understand, like with distance now, I understand why it was hard for them. It was hard. I mean, like when we're talking about just lying about who you have a crush on in a couple,
like pretending it was Scott Wolf when you wanted to be having sex with Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Right.
I'm like shy to make eye contact with you when I say her name. Brian's friends with her and works on a show with her. Get it together. That you're like in that, in that time, you're also like, you're being shitty to yourself. You're having the same reaction that, you know, in, well, I don't know what your parents' reaction was aside from lung cancer. What happened after lung cancer?
It was just a very long break. I mean, it was like, I would go home sometimes and then it was years without talking to them. And then only recently after I got married and divorced, actually, that like,
They were not at the wedding?
They were not, no. It wasn't even really a wedding, though. But it was also, I'm Syrian. Mm-hmm. I come from an enormous family, same thing.
Yeah.
The wedding thing's a huge deal. And it was just, and I think I carried a lot of guilt for not telling them beforehand. But then another part of me was just sort of like, I can't win here. Like, I don't need to hear it again.
Yeah.
You know? And,
yeah.
And then my mom, I guess like a few months ago, and this is like 15, 17 years later, has been like, she and my dad reached out and were like, we would like to work on the relationship. We're sorry for our behavior.
Oh,
like we'll figure this out.
That is really sweet.
Yeah.
15 years later. Yeah. Oh my God. This is honestly, I want to play this.
Ooh, that's the real deep shit.
You guys, if you are listening to this and you have a disagreement, do not wait
it out.
15 years is the appropriate amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy that you guys are getting back together, though. They stayed in your place.
They did stay in my place.
Yeah.
What was your timeline?
My timeline. Okay, so I fell in love when I was 18 with a woman that lived in Montreal. I came out to my parents about it when I was 19 or 20.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't come out to myself till I was like in love with that woman. And also when I first fell in love with her, I was like, it's just her, you know,
yeah, oh,
I'll get
sure.
right it's back to person. Scott it's Wolf the, yeah, after, yeah.
minor but, detour.
Yeah. Just, going to get wild and crazy with this dyke. Because the idea of it's so interesting how like language and just even like, yeah, I'm still thinking about that body thing of like feeling like you're not in the right body,
mm-hmm.
and feeling like even and no matter it, just it's so sad. Just
oh yeah, you're constantly aware of how you're sitting, of how you're standing, how you're walking. Like yeah, it's wild
that you're not the normal thing,
yeah.
and all you want to be when you're younger is fucking normal and fit in.
You just want to blend in,
and you know what?
You just want to be picked like fourth or fifth. You know what I mean? Not first, not dead last.
I'd go for some first, but but what was I talking about?
TCAs.
We were talking about the TCAs. Well, okay, this actually does blend because I was thinking, so Ashley Tisdale is on the show that I'm doing.
Yeah.
And she's been performing since she was three. Like she's been in and doing this. I'm 34.
Yeah.
And doing having this experience,
but you
like,
started young too. I mean, you didn't start
I started
at three.
Doing stand up when I was 16. But, yeah. And so you like to me, it's like I know what it's like to be famous in Canada. Like I know what it's like to be recognized. And like in my mind, I'm like I always thought that I understood what it was like to be famous until the TCAs, and that was like there's a makeup person, there's a hair person, there's publicity people, your manager's there, there's like a whole squad of people, and they're. Job is only a job if you're cool and funny and being received well. So you're like literally Drake. You're like rolling into rooms. You know, like you like drink funny from a can and people are like, and it's not fake. I mean, it is, I guess it's like it, the physiology of the moment is set up for people to authentically be by your side and clap you on, which gives you a non-authentic view of yourself.
Yeah.
I definitely like came the upfronts as well. Like these big events where you get so much attention, there's like a coming down period for me. And within that, I think it's like so wild for anyone to have started young and like be like Ashley's cool.
Yeah.
And she must like for people like that, it's like, how do you stay normal?
I know. I think it just has to be that you come from an amazing family or something, because I can't imagine it.
Yeah.
Like I would never, I mean, I really would like if I had children. I'd maybe get them involved in community theater if they were really passionate about doing something, but like that would be it. There's just no way. Not that I hate what I do. I love what I do, but like you know, there's highs and lows.
I would say if Wolfie wants to be an entertainer, I would just say, like, if you want to be an actor, then you have to be a writer as well.
Yes.
If you want to be a musician, you have to write your music. So that there's some sort of, like, power in it. Because I think that, like, the beyond the, like, if you did get to those heights where there's a gaggle of people around you that are giggling, gaggle of giggles, you know, when you just...
I can't wait
you
for
could
that
say
show.
Something in normal way, but then you've got to invent a show called Gaggle of Giggles.
You have to. Parents love it.
Hollywood scoop, 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 scoop. Hollywood scoop, 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 scoop.
That would be a great kitty litter name.
Okay.
I asked you to show me the estimate of the roof. That's all the damage that I
you know
see.
That.
The roof.
The job was never completed.
Roof.
Roof.
Because here is...
Have you always been obsessed with Judge Judy?
Obsessed with Judge
what
Judy.
What is it about her?
I think it's that she, in a world that is full of nuances, she is not. She sees everything black and white, right or wrong. And I like watching someone say to someone, like, what did you do?
Yes. Yes.
You did that? You yes. can't do that. You're stupid. That's stupid. Like, you can't do that. And then when they're like, well, you see, 5 years ago, she's like, I don't want to hear that. What you did was stupid. No excuses. And I feel like that you never really hear that.
Yeah, that's why I like hanging out. Do you know Lisa Traeger?
Yes, I love
she's
Lisa.
Totally like that. She yeah. like is at the Comedy Cellar, like yelling at Chris Rock. She right. just gives no fucks. That's
yeah,
amazing.
I think it's that. I think it's the give no fucks and just, I don't know, just to
on
see
on the scale
like,
of like give no fucks and like give all the fucks, where do you think you are?
Oh, shit. I think I am. You want to know something crazy? That's so funny that you bring this up. This, for the next month, I have in my calendar, give less fucks every day.
Oh my God.
So like every day, it's like the first thing that pops up. And it actually does, this is so ridiculous. It does make me smile. And
yeah.
it does make me feel like, eh, I'm just going to like, even to the point where I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to like leave the exclamation point off this email. Or I'm just
yes,
gonna, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I don't want to, what am I proving?
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if someone thinks I'm rude because I put a period instead of an exclamation. I don't care.
Yeah.
But then
yeah.
other times I care the most, but I'm really trying
yeah,
to like,
I realized
that's
after
getting
I
less
asked
and less.
It that it's like a sliding scale for lots of different things.
And it's like, it's the extremes for
yes.
me. Yeah. What about you? How many fucks are you given these days?
I feel like it's a hard question to answer just generally, because I feel like when it comes to, I'm just like not very, I'm not embarrassed easily. So in that
That's
sense, I give no
really
fucks.
Really great, yeah.
But then I mean, like I've mentioned it on the podcast before, so I feel embarrassed to say it again, but like I have like talked to my therapist about like, you know, I texted someone and then they didn't like that is not a give no fucks attitude.
No, I know.
And but we were talking before about like you make friends now in this business and it's like there's all these like it's like aspirational friendships and it's like there's not really a normal balance.
No.
And then,
and you just feel like you have to show up for them so hard, like you have
yes.
to like if you met them razzling and dazzling, like that's the friend you are unless you
yeah.
break pattern. Yeah,
when in reality they just want to be friends with
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so definitely the fucking goody goody lesson of the day is be yourself and you don't have to be a version of normal.
What did that say?
Lessons.
Oh.
wait. I've started this podcast willy-nilly everywhere because I want to talk to you about everything. But it's the fourth season of 911.
Third.
The third season
yeah.
of 911. And I just greenlit it for a fourth, honey.
Honey, you heard it here first.
My lips to Fox's nose.
All right. Are you kissing people
Fox's
on the nose?
Nose into his hot tub belly button.
I talk to people right in the nostrils. I don't give a fuck.
And that's how you live forever, dog.
You have like a very popular podcast. Throwing Shade.
Throwing Shade.
How many people, so many people listen to it. You sell out theaters everywhere.
It does very well.
When you
We're
started it, did you ever imagine?
Never in a million years. No.
And how long have you been doing it?
Oh my God, forever. Like since Obama's second election. So
no
way. 2012.
Holy
shit. So
I've
been doing it for like 7 years.
And was it hot right off the top?
No, it was a slow burn. But
okay.
But I think, I don't know. I think I was talking about issues affecting queer people and Aaron, my co-host, talks about issues affecting women. And I think we just, this was also early in the podcast days, but I mean, we're very lucky, I guess, that like the numbers have, I think if the numbers like dropped significantly, we would be like, okay, well, we'll
Let's
do something
pack up
else.
Our knives
and- yeah, exactly. But it's sort of only gotten, it just keeps, the momentum keeps building for it, which is like not what we expected.
That's so cool.
Which is cool.
Yeah. This thing that you own, that you do, that you.
And I have to say, and that actually goes into the hyphenate thing you were talking about. Like if you're a writer, be an actor. Or if you're an actor, be a writer, that whole thing. It is, I did not grow up dreaming of like being a podcast host, but even now, like with shows and with whatever else, you know, writing, whatever else I'm doing, the most gratifying thing is the thing that you create.
Yes.
Like, and the thing that it, that you create and also that people see and does well.
And it's like your stand-up.
Yeah, I think exactly that I have control over it, or, you know, at least my part of it, and that it is my voice, and it does feel like a really strong creative outlet. And yet, I don't know if you feel like this with your stand-up or with any project that you work on.
I already do, babe.
I dread it until I'm in there, and then it's fine. Okay. Do you dread things?
Yeah, I do dread things, but I've gotten better at less dread. Like, I used to dread, like, a showcase, like, showcasing for someone.
Right.
Like, the Just for Laughs showcase, or, like, Comedy Central showcase. I would be, like, I would, that day, I would, like, not want to talk to anyone.
Right.
I would be in my head, but I wouldn't even be thinking about my set. I'd just be dreading the stakes of it all.
Right. It's not like you were like doing work on something. It was just like you were just like, holy fuck, this is all on top of me.
Yeah, which is like, it's so funny growing up and learning all of the lessons and knowing that,
so
like,
you don't have that any longer.
No.
Yeah.
But because don't you, isn't there, even if you've been dreading for 7 years, the podcast, hasn't it died down
a
little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't dread it in a nervous way. I just dread it in like, oh God, this is the last thing I need to do today. Like da, 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 da. It's more just annoying. And then I get in there and I'm
prepare?
Like, oh, I just had the, I do.
Okay.
Cause we each talk about different political stories, but then I go in once I'm in there and I'm just like, oh, this is like the best hour
I forgot.
Of my life.
Yeah. You have like fully prepared. Like it's, we, like you write a new show every
time.
We do
like a research thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I just feel like I always, maybe it's just a dread of work. Like,
I think
just like hating
I think
work.
Every person that really cares about what they do has a little bit of that. And it is just like the stakes of it.
Yeah.
You're feeling the stakes.
Yeah.
And in feeling the stakes, you're imagining you're catastrophizing a little bit.
Completely.
Yeah.
And I need to, that's what I really like. The gives less fucks thing and the catastrophizing is the thing I need to like pump the brakes on. Yeah. And I think I've done it a little bit, but I could do it more.
Yeah. Balancing it.
Also, you know what else I'm into right now?
What?
Just the people who just really not going to lunch with people I don't want to go to lunch with.
Oh my God. Yeah.
That's a new thing for me and I love it.
It's, you know what I've realized the best thing to do is to act a veer on the side of the like leather, the Luke Perry version of yourself.
Yeah.
Veer on the side of like, if you're
like that.
Questioning whether to or not, just like do the like more, even if it's not,
because it's the thing you really want to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
So canceling lunch or not even scheduling, like someone's like, we've got to do that.
I'll be like, oh yeah. And then if it comes down to it, I actually have told people before, like, oh, you know, I'm not really doing that right now. Which like
eating lunch.
Yeah. I've said that before.
Breakfast, dinner. And
I don't really do that right now.
Yeah, I don't really do that right now.
Or I'll literally have said to people, I'm sorry, I've just been talking too much lately.
Oh my God, I'm so glad you didn't say that to me.
Hollywood Scoop! Scoop!
I'm here in Hollywood with a scoop. Here in Hollywood, agents and managers will set up meetings with literally anybody. Everybody will meet. Someone will pay for your coffee. You'll laugh.
To talk
you'll
about
chat,
anything.
Talk about literally anything. And sometimes it's really good. Like,
yeah.
I've had generals that turned into like, oh, we're working together on a thing. That's great. But then a lot of the times, just like dating, it's not a connect or whatever. There's just no reason for you to be drinking coffees together.
I know it's going badly when someone says like, so who inspires you? Or like, what? I'm just like, huh? Or like, what movies inspire you? And I'm like, I don't, what?
My Google Maps.
Honey.
So I will just like not do them if they're on the west side now.
Same.
And then if people want to, I'll say like, tell them if they're ever on the east side, let me know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then if they really want, if it's worth it for them to get in the car for an hour, then, you know, the odds of it being a fun lunch are better.
Yeah. I also think there's a difference between, and this is maybe a separate thought, but there's a line from Into the Woods that I really love that the witch says, and she says, you're not good, you're not bad, you're just nice. And I do feel like nice people want people to like them, which
yes.
is fine.
Yeah.
Good people are fine if people like them, but they try to do
good,
the right thing no matter what.
Yeah.
And so I don't feel like I'm... Like, I feel like I'm a good person.
Yes.
And so I think the niceness comes naturally, but I don't necessarily need everyone to like me. But I think they do. Does that make any sense, or did I just talk in a circle?
No, you explained that being authentic is more important than being nice.
Than
right?
being liked.
Than being liked.
I think so. And that you're not a bad person, or that there's people will dislike you if you say no to something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a Canadian thing, a daughter of immigrants thing. For you, is it
a Canadian thing?
A Canadian thing? Like, what? Where does that come from? It's like maybe
I think
like
it's a Southern thing.
A Southern thing.
Of just the, you mean the need to be liked?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I think so.
I guess it's just a human thing. I think it's like a survival of the fittest thing.
But then you realize, like, oh yeah, me saying like, oh, I can't do lunch is not me saying fuck you, I hate you, you're a fucking piece of shit. Like, even though sometimes it feels like you're saying that, like that's not the same thing.
Yeah, and also being on that side of it, it's actually like puts a good context for when you're down a rabbit hole for why someone's not doing a thing. It's like, absolutely. Oh, it just doesn't line up. That's just not what's happening.
Exactly. Like, yeah. This I've never once been right about a spiral I've taken.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's never actually been the right outcome.
Yes. Yeah.
Or the outcome I predicted.
Yes. So the outcome that you predicted when you first came out to your parents was probably like, I'm never talking to them again.
Yeah. And then, you know, cut to 15 years later. And I am.
Years.
Yeah. Not that I mean, I did talk to them throughout that. But
it just was not a connected talk.
Yeah. And even just like, oh, whatever. Someone didn't text me back or my phone didn't. Okay. I guess I'm off their list. Like, I guess I'm not cool enough. I guess I'm not working hard enough. And it's like, well, no.
Yeah.
None of that's true.
I love that your mom said that to you. The thing about that, just that she like was sorry.
Yeah.
Cause after 15 years, that's like a big fucking sorry.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it was, and it also, I have to say, like, not that my parents are old, but like, they're obviously getting older and you just want that shit settled by
not
the
that
time.
My parents are old.
No, but like,
you're so sweet. Like after this huge rift, you're still like protecting their vanity.
They
it's
look
like,
great.
Mom's a babe.
No,
she slays. You gotta see her in a tankini.
I guess like, I didn't want them to be too old and still resent them, because then I feel like that's cruel.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
of course.
Sort of like, I just wanted that dust settled before like someone's in like a home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also for just for you, for it's like a lot of energy. I felt that way when I was not talking to my relatives. It's like, even if you say you're cool, it's like there's just, I mean, it's kind of like a relation. I mean, any relationship, when you end it in this, when it ends in this like jarring, shocking way that feels like not right and not and unexpected and not normal, it's you're constantly conscious of that.
That's why it's so,
it's so freeing to be like, yeah, come back.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's so much, it's so much easier to just not be upset.
And then at the same time, it's like there are people in my family that like, that's not, no one came back really. Like it's not the story. It's not, I think probably in either of our cases, it's not like this cut and dry and
no.
like, and then time went by and everything perfect and now it's good, good.
Mm-mm.
But like it's, the dust settling is like a really good way of putting it. Cause it's like, everything lands where it's supposed to land.
And I think like, by the time it lands, you're like, well, no, I have my own shit figured out and I've learned to, you know, rely on myself. And I've learned to sort of not expect certain things from you. And so as long as I know that, it's fine.
It's the balance of giving fucks.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Brian and I are hiking and we've just come to a realization, which is that life is the balance of no fucks and fucks. But for sure, the worst way to die is too many fucks falling off a cliff.
Yes. Too many fucks is the worst way to die.
So go out there and do not give any fucks. But don't get run over. Cool.
Yeah.
I think we know everything.
I think
we've got everything.
I feel pretty
good. Are you closer to your mom or your dad?
Probably my mom, only because there's like, I don't know, just something there that it's a man's world. And I think
your dad's a little more closed off.
Yeah. Especially with that generation. Like, I feel like my mom was stuck in between generations of being a housewife and watching women really liberate themselves.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was a real push-pull for her about like which road to take.
Hmm.
I sometimes feel like maybe she took the wrong job. One. She was an artist. She's a pianist. Wow. Yeah. And I think she also was 26 and felt like an old maid in Texas.
Wow.
And I'm not saying that's why she married my dad, but I think she...
Oh, that she was 26 when she met your dad.
Yes. So I think the life...
Both that, Syrian.
No, my mom is not. My dad is full Syrian. My mom is not.
Whoa.
Yeah, she's like just a white chick from Texas.
White chick from Texas, 26, meets Syrian.
Yeah.
Cutie.
Yeah. And then I think, I don't know. So I always just sort of, I don't know if necessarily know if I'm closer with her, except I guess, I think honestly, just the fact that she's a woman and she, I think, feels at least some marginalization because all women, I think, inherently do.
Yeah.
That I just felt more aligned with her.
Yeah. And your dad is your dad awake at all to like the, just when you say that she knows marginalization or like what it is to be other, like, is your dad?
I think he is. I mean, he grew up being called slurs.
Yeah.
So I think he knows, I think he knows what that is.
Yeah.
But I think there is a concrete difference in his head between, you know, sexuality, and they're also very religious, which is just like that's where the door shuts.
Yes.
There's nothing you can do in that scenario when people believe something that you know, are
it's hardcore. It's a whole different
thing.
And,
exactly.
You're playing different sports.
Exactly.
It's your responsibility when you're taking the property to look at it and say, I don't want this sweater. I don't want this blazer because it has this defect or that defect. That's what people do who are in business.
But I'm not a cat.
Excuse me?
I'm not a cat.
What kind of stupid remark is that?
Okay, so you're in El Paso. You are not a cat. You are
a boy
who's telling every lie that he can.
I'm watching Rosie, Oprah, and Judy all day, every day. That's my
cutie patootie.
Yeah, cutie patootie time.
And did you always know that you'd be a performer?
Yeah, I think so.
And your mom was a pianist, so she was probably like, my cutie little performer boy.
Yeah, I think they were like, I think my mom and dad actually were both like super stoked. I always felt support that way.
Yeah.
Like that was never a struggle for me in terms
of
like,
interesting because it's like so queer.
I know. Oh, yeah. I was like, I'm begging them to take tap lessons, begging them to take voice lessons. Like, I mean, literally, it was just like a brick over the head. Like, there's nothing else I could have really, I was trying to express myself in every way possible until like I got to the age where I was like, oh, that's not normal.
What age?
Good question. Like first grade, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you were doing all the arts and then first grade, you were like, I better butch up.
Yep.
Let me play tennis, babe.
Butched up.
Pass me a racket, honey.
Sports, give me a tennis racket and give me some snow skis. Okay. And I will butch this shit up.
Did you have girlfriends?
I did, yeah. Alexa, Farah, who I'm
saying... Those are robots, honey. Those are robots.
No. Wall-E.
What?
I, robot. All the bots.
That was your first kiss with Wall-E.
That sounded like a gun farting.
Let me set the scene. I'm recording this podcast in my very home. Mm-hmm. Brian, sitting next to me. So far, we've touched a lot of topics. Have we gone deep enough? I think not.
Oh, boy.
What kind of kissing did you do? And when did you kiss a boy?
I first kissed a man.
Whoa. How old were you?
16.
Oh. How old was he?
Like 24.
Okay.
But it didn't
Mine was 1827.
Okay.
So the year was 1827.
You're kidding. Yeah, mine was the year 1624.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I think I saw you.
I think I did too. I lived a very long time. 17
something.
Yeah, I was in Jamestown.
Yeah.
How will the rest of this conversation go? Will Brian say something like this?
I think we literally just like kissed and I... Oh my God, I can't believe it. I've never said the story out loud.
Oh my God, I'm so horny for it.
I came in my pants. Please, this is all I have left. I need you to leave me alone.
like that is just a genuine thing you're saying at this point in the podcast. I've talked about my parents. I told you how I got cast.
Please. I need you to leave me alone.
Will we speak to my mom? Yes, we will. Please join in on Thursday for another episode of The Goody Goody.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.